Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
ガラテヤ人への手紙5章22節22節から25節まで。しかし御霊の実は愛、喜び、平安、寛容、親切、善意、誠実、柔和、自制です。このようなものを禁ずる律法はありません。キリストイエスにつく者は自分の肉をさまざまな情欲や欲望とともに十字架につけてしまったのです。もし私たちが御霊によって生きるのなら、御霊に導かれて進もうではありませんか。
Good morning. How are you doing? So today, I believe it's today, is the beginning of Advent.And Advent is simply a season where Christians wait and in expectancy. The word Advent is a Latin word that it means coming. And so we're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Although Advent is a time of celebrating the first coming, it's also a prophetic, it's a prophetic act that we do.Waiting for the second coming, amen? And concerning the second coming, I don't know if you guys are aware, but the Mayan calendar is supposed to end, I don't know, December 15th or something like that. And people are saying, what's that?
21st.
The 21st. Scripture is clear. It says no one knows the hour or the day of that event. But it's also clear that that eventis something we should look forward to, the second coming of the Lord. And Jesus, when he teaches about that, he says, be careful, because it'll be like a thief coming in the night, meaning it's going to come suddenly. And people aren't going to be able to change from who they are. If they're evil, they're going to continue to be evil. If they're good, they're going to continue to be good. And that's what Jesus wants it to be, so that people, you know, I don't know how about you guys, but when someone comes over our house and we know when they're coming over, we get ready. So the house looks presentable, right? And it's not like that the rest of the time. I don't think I'm the only one. at least somebody else. But in the second coming, it's not like we could all of a sudden get ready. And so today I want to talk about walking in the Spirit. And I believe most of you know this, but walking in the Spirit requires being born again. Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And so the first requirement of walking in the Spirit and being ready for the second coming is being born again. Born of the Spirit, not just being born naturally.And so if there are any of you who have any questions concerning that, what do you mean? Come and speak to me afterwards. Because being born of the Spirit is the most important part of this, of walking in the Spirit. You can't be of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. It's absolutely impossible. I'm going to talk about walking in the Spirit.And it's very simple. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to have any kind of special skill to walk in the Spirit. It's simple, but it's not easy. And it's not easy because there is counter-cultural. Meaning, everything this world teaches, everything this world values, everything this world holds up as important, it usually is against the Spirit. So even though it's simple, it's not easy. Because ever since we're a little kid, and as we grow older and older and older, we begin to believe what the world believes. It is true with, I believe it's true with all of us, even if you're homeschooled. you see it in movies, even if it's not a Christian movie, right? You know, a little kid that has pure motives and, you know, wants to give back, but when they get older, what happens? They just get greedy, they just think about themselves, they don't have time for their families. You know, you see this played out in movies all the time. And it's because that's what the world teaches. That's what the world values. And so walking in the Spirit is simple, but it's not easy. And simply this, to walk in the Spirit is, Jesus answered this question. The crowd, there was a crowd following Jesus. And the crowd asked Jesus, okay, what is the work of God? You know, what's most important? And I'm sure the crowd, when they asked this question, they were expecting Jesus to begin to maybe recite Deuteronomy or Leviticus or one of these books that has all the laws written down. Hours and hours of things you need to do. But Jesus simply says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent. How easy is that? If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, you begin to walk in the Spirit. That's all it is. It's simple, right? But it's not easy. John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, our works count for nothing. But if we stay connected to Jesus, then all things are possible. And the things we do, even if it's giving a cup of water to a child, counts. Jesus says you will be rewarded. Very simple. Anyone could give a cup of water to a child, right? But He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Paul goes on to explain, you know, even if you prophesy, if you could, you have faith to move mountains, if you die for your faith and you don't have love, meaning if you're not in Christ, it means nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, it's important that when we walk in the Spirit, what does it mean? How do I know I'm walking in the Spirit? And walking in the Spirit can be tested by the fruit of your life. Walking in the Spirit can be tested by the fruit in our lives. Matthew 7:15-16, Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? And obviously no. Watch out for false prophets. Jesus here was talking about false prophets, but I believe in anyone's life, you could tell whether they're good or evil, if they're walking in the Spirit or in the flesh, by the fruit they're bearing. And this is what Jesus teaches when He's talking about false prophets. But I believe for each and every one of us, the fruit we bear reflects what's inside of us. John 15:8 says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." Again, walking in the Spirit, you will bear much fruit if we're connected to the Lord. It's simply a byproduct. It's not, oh, I got to try harder, or I have to work harder, or I have to follow more laws. If you're in the Lord, the byproduct is you'll bear much fruit to show that you are my disciples, giving glory to Jesus, giving glory to God. So the next obvious question is, okay, so if we bear fruit, what is fruit? What does fruit look like? And that's in Ephesians 5:9, Paul says, "For the fruit of life consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And for me, I interpret that to simply mean goodness is our acts and behavior, righteousness is our value and belief, and truth is a person. It's not simply correct doctrine, but it's aligning ourselves with Jesus, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So what fruit is what we do, how we do it, why we do it, and who we're doing it through. It's what we do, why we do it, and who we do it through. And then we come to our passage in Galatians, and this is what I really want to talk about today. That's why I was flying through. But in Galatians 22:23, let me just read that again. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And today I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, we will bear these fruits in the Spirit. These fruits will reflect what's inside of us. But the first attribute of the fruit, growing up, I thought these were, you know, when I picture mentally the fruit of the Spirit, I picture a tree and then a fruit that's love and a fruit that's peace and a fruit that's kindness, right? Did anyone else picture that? No, just me. But it says the fruit, so it's a singular. So it's a single fruit that has all of those characteristics in it. So it's not like it's love, joy, peace, you know, which would be, yeah, in Jesus' teaching, it would be a little different because, you know, Jesus doesn't say a tree will bear fruit, give me other, lemons, apples, you know, avocados. He says it's going to bear fruit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is a single fruit with different characteristics in it. And let me just share with you these characteristics in the hopes that you'll be like, wow, this is one of the most amazing gifts God has given me. You know, we look at the fruit of the Spirit and sometimes we think, oh man, this is so hard. But instead I want us to think, wow, this is just such an amazing gift God has given me through the Holy Spirit. I want to be more connected to Christ so that I could bear these fruit and have these fruit mature in my life. And the first characteristic of this fruit is love. And it's important. Love must be first. This past week, I was watching God TV, and they're showing past shows, past teaching from this conference called Women of a Glow. Is that right?
Women of Glow.
Women of Glow. Anyone familiar with that? Oh, okay. Yeah, Women of Glow. And they had this man named Mike Bickle teach. This was in 2009. And Mike Bickle is one of the founders of this ministry called International House of Prayer. Anyways, as he was teaching on love, and he was teaching how, you know, the first and most important commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Amen? He says most Christians, they believe that. But it's usually in the top 10. It's not number one. And he was teaching that it must be number one for Christians, because that's the most important. And he said, you know, when I started the ministry, International House of Prayer, it was really small. You know, barely any people, and it was hard. The vision of International House of Prayer is to have a 24-hour place of worship and prayer. And so if you go, it's in Kansas City. If you go, any time of the day you go, there's people, singers, musicians, worshiping the Lord. And it started from small beginnings, but now it's a huge ministry. One day somebody came, I forgot who came, but he came and he told Mike Bickle, you know, he saw the huge building and he saw the worshipers, and he said, "Wow, your dream came true." And Mike Bickle said, "No, this is not my dream. This is my assignment. My dream in life is to become the most anointed person, to love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul." He said, "That's my dream." And as I was watching that, it just resonated in my life, in my soul, I mean. It's, you know, what is your dream? Is the most important commandment that important to you, that it is your dream, that it is your goal in life? If it's not, I encourage you, make it your goal in life. Because that's the most important thing you could ever do in this life, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. Jesus says that's the most important commandment. And as we as believers and disciples of Christ, if we just put that number five in our lives, we're missing the point. There's four more things that are more valuable, that takes precedence or that has more importance, then we're missing it. It has to be number one. And so that night I just lay down in bed and I said, "Lord, I want to make that my dream in my life." And I just felt God's presence over it, all over it. And I encourage you, that is the most important thing you would ever learn to do. And if you do that well, when you go to heaven, you'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. The most important thing in this world, you achieved." So love must be first. Make it first. Making God first. Making Him a priority over everything. The second characteristic of this fruit is joy. And joy of the joy of God isn't simply putting on a happy face so that people think nothing is wrong. I do that all the time. I come to church and I gotta be happy, right? If you see me depressed and sad at church, you'll be like, "Oh my gosh." But it's more than putting on a happy face at church. You know, the joy of the Lord is... The scripture says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." But let me read in John 15, 10 through 12. It says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." And I believe if your dream and if your goal, again, just to reiterate this point, if the goal of your life is to put the Lord first, I believe there will be joy in your life. Not saying that everything will be happy-go-lucky, but there will be joy in your life, contentment and joy, putting the Lord first. And if you noticed, in verse 11, it says, "Your joy may be complete." I believe a lot of us, our joy is not complete. I believe all of us, our joy is not complete. But there is a completeness of joy. If you look at it, you know, go on online Bibles, and if you check, you know, complete and joy, you'll see throughout Scripture there are a lot of times when they say, so that my joy may be complete. John the Baptist, when he saw that Jesus was gaining more followers than him, he said something like, my joy is complete. Because I have finished my assignment. My joy has been completed. The Apostle Paul, when he's writing a letter to the churches, he talks about being united and like-minded so that my joy may be complete. And so joy, I believe, in some sense, it takes contending for. And what I mean by that is, it just doesn't come automatically. You know, if you're struggling with joy, and I believe there are some of you who are struggling with joy, some of you are just gifted in being joyful, but if you're struggling in joy, you know, contend for it. Fight for it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the next characteristic of this, the fruit of the Spirit, and I'll close with this last one, is the peace of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And the peace is simply the awareness of the presence of God in any circumstances. Having the awareness of the presence of God will keep you in perfect peace. Let me read some a scripture verse that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. The thing about peace, or the opposite of peace, is, anxiety or fear. I've heard, you know, don't walk in fear, because when you do, you'll lose the sense of hearing God's voice. Or anxiety, yeah, you'll miss His voice when you walk in those things. I was listening to this audiobook. Audiobooks are so great. If you're not into audiobooks, I highly recommend it. It just makes you seem well-read. I have listened to many audiobooks, and it's like reading books, you know. The latest audiobook I read was this book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. He's just an interesting person to listen to, if anything. In his book is about making split-second decisions, Blink, and how our mind, it just is able to do these things. And sometimes, in most cases, it's able to make decisions even before we could process why we're making those decisions, and it's the right decision. But he talks about, in one of the chapters, he talks about when split-second decision goes wrong. And he calls it, I believe it's temporary autism. That's what he labels it. And he attributes, you know, these, and he gives some examples. And one of the examples is when police officers, I don't know if you've heard these stories, but they shoot innocent people. And it's not just they shoot them once. It's like there's four officers and they shoot them 40 times, kind of thing. And he says, you know, that's one of the cases of like temporary autism. It's when we're in such a stressful state of being that we lose, we just temporarily lose all sound judgment. And let me just read something. It says, have you ever experienced a mind-blind moment? A moment where conditions were so stressful or confusing, your actions seemed to be the result of temporary autism. If mind blindness occurs at extreme points, could this explain why people lose their heads in the heat of the moment and say something they don't mean, or cheat on a spouse, or, you know, shoot somebody 40 times? It's in these extreme stressful moments, in the book of Blink, it talks about just having this mind blindness, or temporary autism, as he calls it. And, you know, as I was reading the scripture the other day, it kind of clicked. It's like, yeah. You know, when we're anxious or we're stressful, you know, it may not be as extreme as shooting somebody 40 times, but we make wrong decisions. When the peace of God is not ruling over our lives and we're walking in stress or we're walking in anxiety or we're walking in fear, we'll make the wrong decision. And in the book, he talks about another example of when there are people who are able to, in extreme stressful situation, rise above that and actually make even greater decisions. And he gives an example of Larry Bird.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I think about three of you know him. Well, Larry Bird is a basketball player. And he's one of my favorite. he was one of the great shooters of all time, and he played in the NBA for the Boston Celtics.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Okay.
He's a holy man.
Holy man, no Laker.
Bird is the one.
Anyways, all right. I'm glad I'm connecting with some of you. But for others of you, you're like, where is he going with this? I have a point. I'm not just talking about basketball up here. But Larry Bird, what is known for amongst a list of things is his ability to make big shots in big moments, the most stressful times of the game. You see some players during important key moments of the game mess up. You know, there's these players that during playoffs, they just play a lot worse than regular season. And probably a lot worse during practice. It's because it's stressful. The stress level rises. I remember when I used to play basketball, and the game was close, and someone would be shooting a free throw, or I would be shooting a free throw, and my legs would just shake, literally shake. Like I was like, oh my gosh. And then in my mind, I'm like, wow, I'm really nervous. But, you know, there are, in a basketball game and in any situation, there are times when the pressure is on. Larry Bird, he said, during those times, it would seem like people would be going in slow motion, and he would not be able to hear the crowd noise. And that's probably why he was able to play so well. It's just in that time of stress, he was able to go to a place where things just slow down. And then it was just silence. All the noise was silence, and he was able to hit numerous big shots. And my point is this, when we come to the peace of the Lord, it will be like that in our lives as well. In big, important moments of our lives, instead of having temporary autism, mind blindness, making the wrong decisions, to be connected to Christ, the vine and the branches, we will bear fruit, and that fruit will look like peace. A place of making and doing the right things at the most critical times of our lives. It's so important to have the characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit to be successful in life. And so I as we go through this list of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, I hope that it will be your hope to want to be more connected to Christ, to make loving God the first thing in your life, the most important thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit And the fruit of the Spirit, the byproduct of being connected to you, Lord. We thank you so much for that gift, Lord. And right now, I do pray for love, joy, and peace to settle into our soul, into our spirit, Lord. Father, that in every situation we walk in, we will walk in love, joy, and peace. Even now, Father, I pray for those of us who are just stressed out, or those of us who are in fear or in anxiety for whatever the situation, that we will not let the stress be so overwhelming that we will have temporary autism, mind blindness, but instead we will have the peace of God. Yeah, Lord, that we would make the right decision at the most critical times of our lives because of your peace, Lord. May it reign in our lives. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.